Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 30, Text 28. Srila Prabhupada translated this verse as part of his Chaitanya Charitamrita. He didn't get this far in the Bhagavatam during his manifest presence in terms of the regular Bhagavatam publication, but he did translate this verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where it was cited by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And it's related to Radharani. So, Anya Radito Nuna Bhagavan Harir Ishvaraha Yano Vihaya Govindaha Prito Yam Anayat Raha. Anaya radito nunam Bhagavan Haririshvaraha Yano vihaya govinda Pritoya manayad raha Anaya radito nunam Bhagavan Haririshvaraha Yano Vihaya Govinda Pritoya Manayadraha Anaya Radito Nunam Bhagavan Haririshvaraha Yano Vihaya Govinda Pritoya Manayad Raha. Manayaradito Nunam. Bhagavan Harishvara. Nam Vihaya Govinda. Anaya radito nunam Bhagavan Harishvara Anonihaya Govinda Anaya raha Yadradito nunam Bhagavan Harishvara Rano Yaya Govinda Pritoya Manayad Raha. Vaishnavis, Anaya Radito Nunam Bhagavan Haririshvara Yano Vihaya Govinda Pritoya Manayad Raha. Yaradito Nunam Van Harishvara Yano Vihaya Govinda Pritoya Manayad Raha. Anayad Radito Nunam Bhagavan Haririshvara Yano Vihaya Govinda Vitoya Maniya Graha Anaya by her Araditaha worshipped Nunam indeed Bhagavan the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari Krishna Ishvara the Lord Yat from which Naha us Vihaya rejecting Govindaha Lord Sri Krishna Pritaha satisfied Yam whom Anayat brought Raha a secluded place. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. When the gopis began to talk among themselves, they said, "Dear friends, the gopi who has been taken away by Krishna to a secluded place must have worshipped the Lord more than anyone else." Purport. The name Radha is derived from this verse, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:30-28, from the words Anaya Raditaha, meaning by her the Lord is worshipped. Sometimes the critics of Srimad Bhagavatam find it difficult to find Radharani's holy name in that book, but the secret is disclosed here in the word Aradita, from which the name Radha has come. Of course, the name of Radharani is directly mentioned in other Puranas. This gopi's worship of Krishna is topmost, and therefore her name is Radha, or the topmost worshiper. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So on today, Radhashtami, I'll say some words in glorification of Srimati Radharani and also read some things from the writings of Srila Prabhupada. In his purport to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila, Chapter 1, Text 24, Srila Prabhupada gives an interesting revelation. You know, he wrote, "Our only desire should be to take birth under the care of a Vaishnava. Fortunately, we," and by that he's meaning I, you know, Srila Prabhupada, said, "fortunately, we had the opportunity to be born of a Vaishnava father who took care of us very nicely. He prayed to Srimati Radharani that in the future we would become a servant of the eternal consort of Sri Krishna. Thus, somehow or other, we are engaged in that service." So, it's interesting that Srila Prabhupada saw himself as the eternal servitor of Srimati Radharani. And he rendered immense service to Srimati Radharani, the topmost devotee of Lord Sri Krishna, by bringing knowledge of her and her service throughout the whole world. And the fact that we're sitting here today talking about Srimati Radharani, celebrating her appearance day in front of deities of Radha and Krishna is proof of the great service that, you know, Srila Prabhupada did to Srimati Radharani. He let the world know that the conception of God is not complete without God's personified pleasure potency. This is a revelation to many people in various parts of the world who had an exclusively male concept of God. So, in the Vishnu Purana, it said, Vishnu Shakti Para Prokta, Kshetra Sakya Tata Para, Avidya Karma Samgam Yam, Tritya Shakti Ishati, that Krishna or Vishnu has three main energies. There's his Para Shakti, his internal potency, spiritual potency. There is his material potency, and then there is his marginal potency, the jivas. So the spiritual potency of the Lord exists in three forms. There's Sandini, his Sandini potency, his Samvit potency, and his Ladini potency. So the Sandini potency is the potency of eternal existence. And his Samvit potency is his potency of eternal, full, complete knowledge. And his Ladini potency is his pleasure potency. So Srimati Radharani is Krishna's Ladini potency personified. In his books, you know, Srila Prabhupada explains that when Krishna desires to enjoy, he cannot enjoy with anything material that is not of his own nature. So he expresses part of his nature, his eternal personal nature, as Srimati Radharani, who is his personified pleasure potency and the personification of pure love for Krishna. And this emotion of pure love is called bhava, and Srimati Radharani personifies it to the maximum degree. It's called mahabhava, the greatest feeling of love for Krishna. And sometimes this is called radha bhava. And this Radha Bhava is what we aspire for, to adopt the mood of Srimati Radharani in terms of being eternal, loving servants of Krishna. By becoming the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. So one feature of this Radha Bhava, this love of Krishna that Srimati Radharani manifests, is that it's not selfish. Generally, in the material world, if someone loves someone in a material way, you know, they try to maintained a monopoly on, you know, the person they love. They don't want anyone else to approach that person. But in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are descriptions of Radha's love for Krishna. And it includes unselfishness. You know, Radharani expands herself just as Krishna expands himself in different ways. Radharani also expands herself. So she has many associates. There are millions and millions, unlimited numbers of associates of Srimati Radharani. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are some verses describing how, you know, she's always pushing these associates to Krishna. It says in the Madhya Lila, chapter 8, text 214, presenting various pleas for the gopis, Srimati Radharani sometimes sends the gopis to Krishna just to enable them to associate with him directly. At such times, she enjoys a happiness 10 million times greater than that enjoyed through direct association. And then in the next verse, it says, the transcendental mellow is nourished by that mutual behavior in transcendental love of Godhead. When Lord Krishna sees how the gopis have developed pure love for him, he becomes very satisfied. In his purport, Srila Prabhupada says, Srimati Radharani and the gopis are not interested in their personal happiness derived from association with Krishna. Rather, they become happy by seeing one another associate with Krishna. In this way, their dealings are further nourished by love of Godhead. And seeing this, Krishna becomes very pleased. So, the devotees, aspiring devotees, try to get the mercy of Srimati Radharani so that she will recommend them to Lord Krishna. And she's very willing to do that. That is her nature. She's extremely merciful. So Srimati Radharani is present in the Hare Krishna mantra. And that's what we're really doing when we chant the Hare Krishna mantra. We're asking to be accepted as servants of Lord Krishna. And we are addressing the personified pleasure potency of Lord Krishna, Srimati Radharani, when we chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Srila Prabhupada has explained in many places that the word Hare, it's the vocative case of Hara, and Hara is a name for Radharani, the personified pleasure potency, pleasure energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, we're actually addressing Srimati Radharani in addition to addressing Lord Krishna. We're asking to please be engaged in the service of Lord Krishna. And Srimati Radharani is the ultimate controller of that service. She is personified devotional service to the highest degree. She's also present in the mantra Omkar. This is explained by Srila Prabhupada in his purports in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that this transcendental sound, Om, is made of three letters, A, U, and M combined. And the sound Ah represents Krishna, the sound U represents Radharani, and the sound M represents the jivas, or the living entities. So again, it's actually a prayer addressing the energy of the Lord to engage the jivas in the service of the eternal supreme personality of Godhead. So with that understanding, yeah, we can understand when, you know, we say Om Namo Bhagavate, whenever we're using that Omkar, we're also addressing Srimati Radharani. So the love that Srimati Radharani expresses for Krishna is very powerful. It exerts a very powerful influence on Lord Krishna. You know, there's one story that's told in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. You know, before the Rasa dance, it said that Krishna desired to get away from the other gopis and have some private exchanges with Srimati Radharani. So he left the association of the other gopis and he hid himself in some bushes waiting for Srimati Radharani to come by. So, you know, the gopis went out looking for him, and one of the gopis said, "Oh, look at that bush over there. I see some blue personality there. Must be Krishna. So let's go find him out." So it said that the gopis trooped over there like a bunch of troops, a squadron of soldiers. So, okay, now we've got him. You know, he's trying to hide from us, but now we've got him. But they looked carefully. And Krishna, when he'd seen the gopis coming, he still wanted to hide himself because he was really waiting for Srimati Radharani. So to hide himself, he turned into his four-armed Narayan form. So when the gopis approached, they say, okay, it's not Krishna, it's Lord Narayan. So they thought, okay, let's pray to, okay, Lord Narayan, be pleased with us. Give us the association of Krishna, like that. And then they went on their way. So then Srimati Radharani strolled down the path. And Krishna thought, okay, let me play a little joke with Srimati Radharani. Let me maintain, you know, my forearm form in front of her. But he tried very hard to do this. He tried very hard to maintain his forearm form, but he could not do it in the presence of Srimati Radharani. You know, her attractive features, the pureness of her loving devotion for Krishna were just too much, and it just completely overwhelmed him, and he just had to manifest himself in his original form of Krishna in front of her. So then the there was the, you know, the Rasa dance itself took place. And during that, Krishna was dancing with the gopis. There are many nice, you know, paintings of that. It shows Krishna dancing in a circle with all the gopis. There are many gopis, and Krishna expanded himself so that he was standing between each pair of gopis, so that for each two gopis, there was one Krishna. But in the center, Krishna was standing alone with Srimati Radharani. So, you know, that's a special honor. But Radharani was feeling not entirely satisfied because Krishna wasn't paying as much attention to her as she thought he should, because Krishna was feeling, I'm in the presence of all these other gopis, so I can't really express myself. So Radharani left the circle of the Rasa dance, and then Krishna went after her. And then when he did that, he disappeared from all the other gopis as well. So in Krishna book, you know, Srila Prabhupada describes, you know, what happened after that. So I'm going to read now from Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book about what happened when Krishna left the Rasa dance and all the gopis went looking for him. So in this way, all the gopis were madly feeling the absence of Krishna. They inquired about him from the trees and plants. In some places they found the imprints of the marks on the soles of his feet, namely the flag, the lotus flower, the trident, the thunderbolt, etc. After seeing these footprints, they exclaimed, "Oh, here is the impression of the marks on the soles of Krishna's feet. All the marks, such as the flag, the lotus flower, the trident, and the thunderbolt, are distinctly visible here." They began to follow the footprints, and shortly they saw another set of footprints beside them, and immediately they became very sorry. "Dear friends, just see, whose are these other footprints? They are beside the footprints of the son of Maharaj Nanda. It is certainly Krishna passing through his hand on some other gopi, exactly as an elephant goes side by side with his beloved mate. We must therefore understand that this particular gopi servant of Krishna, with greater affectionate love than ourselves," let's see if I read that. "We must therefore understand that this particular gopi served Krishna with greater affectionate love than ourselves. Because of this, although he has left us, he could not leave her company. He has taken her along with him. Dear friends, just imagine how the dust of this place is transcendentally glorious. The dust of the lotus feet of Krishna is worshipped even by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva and the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. But at the same time, we are very sorry that this particular gopi has gone along with Krishna, for she is sharing the nectar of Krishna's kisses and leaving us aside to lament. O friends, just see, at this particular spot, we do not see the footprints of that gopi. So this is kind of like transcendental CSI. Gopis are really good detectives. You know, they're following the tracks and they're concluding what's going on. Just see, at this particular spot, we do not see the footprints of that gopi. It appears that because there were some pinpricks from the dried grass, Krishna took Radharani on his shoulder. Oh, she is so dear to him. Krishna must have picked some flowers in this spot to satisfy Radharani, because here, where he stood erect to get the flowers from the high branches of the tree, we find only half the impressions of his feet. So he was standing on his toes to pick flowers for Radharani. Dear friends, just see how Krishna must have sat down here with Radharani and tried to set flowers in her hair. You can be certain that both of them sat together here. Krishna is self-sufficient. He has nothing to enjoy from any other source, yet to satisfy his devotee, he treated Radharani exactly as a lusty boy treats his girlfriend. Krishna is so kind that he always tolerates the disturbances created by his girlfriends. In this way, all the gopis pointed out the faults of the particular gopi who had been taken alone by Krishna. They said that this chief gopi, Radharani, must be very proud of her position, thinking herself the greatest of the gopis. Yet how could Krishna take her away alone, leaving all of us aside, unless she is extraordinarily qualified and beautiful? She must have taken Krishna into the deep forest and told him, "My dear Krishna, I am now very tired. I cannot go any further. Please carry me wherever you like." When Krishna was spoken to in this way, he might have told Radharani, "All right, better get on my shoulder." But immediately Krishna must have disappeared, and now Radharani must be lamenting for him. "My dear lover, my dearest, you are so fine and so powerful. Where have you gone? I am nothing but your most obedient maidservant. I am very much aggrieved. Please come and be with me again." Krishna, however, is not coming to her. He must be watching her from a distant place and enjoying her sorrow. All the gopis then went further and further into the forest, searching out Krishna. But when they learned that actually Radharani was left alone by Krishna, they became very sorry. This is the test for Krishna consciousness. In the beginning, they were a little envious that Krishna had taken Radharani alone, leaving aside all the other gopis. But as soon as they knew that Krishna had also left Radharani and that she was alone lamenting for him, they became more sympathetic to her. The gopis found Radharani and heard everything from her about how she had misbehaved with Krishna and how she was proud and she was insulted for her pride. After hearing all this, they became actually very sympathetic. Then all the gopis, including Radharani, proceeded further into the forest until they could no longer see the moonlight. When they saw that it was getting gradually darker, they stopped. Their minds and intelligence became absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. They all imitated the activities of Krishna and his speeches. Due to their heart and soul being completely given to Krishna, they began to chant his glories, completely forgetting their family interest. In this way, all the gopis returned to the bank of the Yamuna and assembled there, and expecting that Krishna must return to them, they simply engaged in chanting the glories of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is, in this Leela, you know, we can see an important aspect of love for Krishna is manifest by Srimati Radharani. And that is the mood of separation from Krishna. And it's also manifest in the gopis as well, that the love for Krishna increases in separation. The gopis were feeling that, and especially Radharani was feeling it in the highest degree. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada was especially teaching this mood of love of Krishna, service to Krishna, in the mood of separation. So there are unlimited things to say, you know, about, you know, Srimati Radharani, and Srila Prabhupada's books are a reservoir, an unlimited reservoir of information about, you know, Srimati Radharani. So we can be grateful to Srila Prabhupada for bringing Radharani to the world, bringing her mood of service to the world, and giving us, you know, the opportunity to become servants of the servants of the servants of Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani ki jai, jai Sri Radhe. What, are we going to have questions and comments? Is it okay for the schedule? Okay, Archita.
Spreading knowledge of Srimati Radharani and giving the opportunity for people to worship her. But there's a lot of work to be done. I just read yesterday there was a group called, I think they call themselves the Subway Bhaktis, and they put out a CD called Rasa Dance. And they say, the Rasa Dance is the dance of the divine. But it's also the dance of any lovers. We're all Radha and Krishna. We're all Sita Ram. We're all Lakshmi Narayan. I mean, so this kind of bogus knowledge is, you know, and obviously people drink that up because that's what they want to hear. Everybody wants to hear that they are Radha and Krishna, and that they are Sita Ram, and that they are Lakshmi Narayan. So we definitely have a lot of work to do. And I did have one question. You began by reading this verse, and it's widely known that Prabhupada only translated up until the 13th chapter of the 10th canto, but you said that the purport was by Srila Prabhupada, so maybe you want to explain that. This is chapter 30.
Well, it's Prabhupada's purport because what I read is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know, not, you know, the Bhagavatam continuation. This verse, Krishnadas Kaviraj included it in, you know, the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Srila Prabhupada translated it and gave a purport to it in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So that's why I was able to give Prabhupada's version of this particular verse. And the first point you made is also very important. Of course, there's so many things to say about, you know, this whole topic, but one very important aspect of, you know, Srila Prabhupada's presentation of Srimati Radharani and these pastimes of Lord Krishna related to her and the gopis is that he was very careful to distinguish these pure spiritual pastimes from the pastimes of ordinary living entities in this material world. And he was very careful to point out that in order to properly understand and appreciate these pastimes, one has to purify one's consciousness. And one cannot purify one's consciousness unless one's activities are pure. So he organized the International Society for Krishna Consciousness in such a way that, yes, Radharani is there, the pastimes are there, but also the process of purification is also there that enables one to understand and appreciate and ultimately enter into these pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So there are, in the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, extensive warnings about what he called sahajism, taking things cheaply and not understanding the difference between, you know, the spiritual pastimes of the Supreme Lord and the liberated souls and the pastimes of ordinary living entities. They're related. Everything we experience in this material world is a reflection of a spiritual reality, but it can be a perverted reflection. So a big part of Srila Prabhupada's presentation of Srimati Radharani was to be very careful in warning his disciples and followers that one has to purify one's consciousness and purify one's behavior before we can really understand and appreciate these things.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a very nice presentation. I have a comment and a question. When I recently joined, my service has been just distributing books all this time. And I was looking at the alternative or another service, and then I look at the Puyari service, and then I thought, well, there's so many Matais and women. And then carry on this consciousness of macho still is very strong in us, the macho man thing, at least in myself. And then by reading, as the time goes on, and you read the highest realization of the devotees, then you go to the gopis, and then Krishna is always surrounded with women most of the time. And, you know, you read about the gopas too and everything. Then I'm looking at myself and looking at the whole consciousness of devotees, you know, fighting, macho men, women, men here, there. So all these things are going on in my mind. But at the same time, when you read the Krishna book and you read the most nectarian relationship that Krishna has with the women, you get like, wow. Then when you read the 64 qualities of a devotee in order to get closer to Krishna, I was just looking for example, and I'll give an example. My wife, she likes to sing a lot for Krishna a lot of times. She likes to do garlands for Krishna. She likes to do rasagulas for Krishna. She likes to go on Harinam and chant. And I'm thinking, well, it seems like the women fit more into this so much. What am I lacking here? What am I missing? So I just wonder if you could speak a little bit more on that, how we, someone like me, who carries that macho mentality and actually become more in tune with my bhav or relationship with Krishna. Hari Bol.
It doesn't necessarily depend on one's external biological form. Of course, you know, Srila Prabhupada mentions in several places that just as a practical observation, you know, he made that, you know, when there's some festival of Krishna, more women seem to be attracted than men. So that's something, you know, Srila Prabhupada noticed in his practical observation. But if we look at the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, you have many of his principal associates who appeared in the form, you know, the form of man, were actually, in terms of their swarupas, or eternal spiritual identities, gopis. So it doesn't, things aren't dependent. You know, developing that mood of love for Krishna doesn't, you know, depend on one's external form. It's developing the spiritual qualities. And then, as you were pointing out, I mean, Krishna actually does have relations on the spiritual platform with eternal associates in the male form, and they're actually quite deep as well. You know, we can't minimize that. And so the main thing is to become a devotee of Krishna and develop the qualities of a devotee, whether one's in male form or female form. And we also have to keep in mind that Krishna sometimes adopts the mood of a macho man, killed many demons in his Vraja Leela, even. And yeah, that's, so that also can be employed in Krishna's service.
Just one observation of this. I don't know how accurate is this, that even great personalities or great Vaishnavas like Jiva Goswami at one time, there's, I don't know, a pastime or an incident in which Mirabai went to, he wanted to have a darshan with one of the sannyasis. And because, you know, sannyasis or renouncers, they cannot see a woman. Rupa Goswami? Okay, I don't know if it's Rupa or Jiva Goswami. So it was mentioned, like, I cannot see, it's a woman. And then she said, oh, I thought that the only male in Vrindavan is Krishna. It's like making a point. Like, we're all Prakriti in one sense. We're all, or having that vision of separation.
Yeah, so there are, so there are lots of adjustments to be made in, you know, the material world in trying to follow spiritual principles, you know, the ultimate spiritual principles, and also live in such a way that disturbances aren't created in society in general or in the society of devotees. So it's, you know, the prerogative of great acharyas to adopt things according to time, place, and circumstance. It's like Srila Prabhupada made many adjustments in the West for the spreading of Krishna consciousness that caused some of his godbrothers in India to criticize him. For example, mixing men and women in temples, you know, giving an, you know, initiation, Brahmin initiation to women, engaging them in deity service on the altars and things like that. So So the safest thing, unless we come to the platform of being great, realized, empowered, and Acharyas, you know, we have to follow the Mahajan, and our Mahajan is Srila Prabhupada. So he gave some guidelines for how to govern the relationships between men and women and the International Society for Krishna Consciousness in our present day. So those are matters of ongoing discussion. I mean, within the limits he gave, there can be adjustments. But the point is that, you know, great acharyas have said that we have to follow, you know, the principles of varna and ashrama that are helpful to the advancement of Krishna consciousness. Ultimately, Krishna consciousness is beyond them. But if certain principles aren't followed, then people will get confused and misled and deviated. So it's a balance. And our great acharyas have given the balance. So we should follow.
Thank you, Prue. I just wanted to say it's a wonderful explanation you gave, and I was thinking about when you mentioned Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it brings back me to Narottam Das Thakur when he says, Nitayar Koruna Hobe, Mbroje Radha Krishna Pabe. And all his bhajans of Narottam Das Thakur is his relationship with the devotees. And without the mercy of the devotees, you cannot understand these transcendental pastimes. Agya Kurivo Sheva Charanaravindo. He's always, so the relationship, it is impossible for me to understand, but I have hope that by developing relationship with devotees and through their mercy, that someday we can probably understand these topics. So thank you very much.
That's the ideal attitude to have. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, jai Sri Radhe.